All right, let us begin. Welcome everyone to this class, Introduction to EVE University. I am Neville Smith. I am a senior recruiting officer for the uni. I've been in the uni for about 9 months as an active participant. In fact, I am a graduate of the uni. And I'd like to welcome any new players that we have who have joined the university, or any old hands at EVE that have join the university for the first time. Welcome to this orientation. We very much welcome you and are glad that you're here with us. What I'd like to do in the next 60 to 90 minutes is provide you with a general introduction and a very gentle overview of some of the key things you need to know about being a member of EVE University. And I would like to make this as interactive as possible. And to that end, if you could be sure to be in the class.euni chat channel in-game, then you can ask questions, and I will try to answer those as we go forward. I'd also like to ask some of our more experienced hands that are joining us for this class, if as we're proceeding, if you have a helpful link or if you'd like to make a comment in the chat channel, by all means, please do post them there. It's great, very much appreciated. And also, if you could, please set your TeamSpeak settings to push to talk if you have not already done so. I do like the sound of my own voice, admittedly, so this is going to be mostly me lecturing, and we will be taking classes, and we will open up TeamSpeak at the end, but initially I want to make sure that we go through the material, which will take about 60 minutes or so. These classes always tend to run a little long, and that's completely okay, so please feel free to join us for the full 60 to 90 minutes, and if you'd like to drop off or if you're not finding this useful, I won't be offended if you leave. All right, first of all, let's make sure everyone can hear me all right. We did have a little TeamSpeak problem getting set up. If you could, please, give me a quick wave in the chat, rather class.euni chat channel in the game if you can hear me all right. Fantastic. And for those of you who are wondering why people are waving at me, it's because you can't hear me, and I find that mildly hysterical. So let's go ahead and start, if I may. First and foremost, as I said, welcome to the uni. We're very, very pleased that you're here. Let me first begin with a quick introduction to what the uni is really all about. Our mission is to be a nonprofit training corporation. And we are established to help new pilots in EVE, in New Eden, to prepare them for their future careers. We're here to help educate you about all the various aspects of EVE. The learning curve for EVE, as we all know, is very, very steep. In fact, it can be hysterically difficult and sometimes impenetrable, and it's very helpful to have experienced players to guide you through and introduce you to some of the key concepts of the game. And that is really why the uni was formed. I always see this learning curve, JPEG. I need to keep that. Thank you, Ukio, for posting that. As funny as that cartoon is that Ukio just posted, it is very accurate. The learning curve for EVE is very, very steep, and that's why EVE University was formed. Morning Maniac founded EVE University. Yep. I mean, I am getting some echo here, so if someone could check to make sure that push to talk is enabled on their TeamSpeak, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, Shane, if you flip again, I'm going to boot you.
Thank you, Flay. As I said, Morning Maniac founded EVE University with the idea of helping new players get over that steep learning curve, and that's really what we're all about. Now, to that end, EVE University is a little different than other corporations that you'll find that you can join in EVE. We don't mind if you move on once you've learned everything that you think you can learn from us. In fact, that is our purpose. We want to equip you to move on to whatever other parts of the game that you feel that you would like to be able to tackle, to join another corporation or pursue whatever career in the game or activity in the game that you find is interesting. So by all means, no one is offended if you leave the university. We very much see this as a temporary place for players to get oriented, to learn about the game, and then move on. On the other hand, once you have some experience in various aspects of EVE, you're certainly more than welcome to join us in passing that wisdom on to others. And to that end, we really urge you to balance both what you gain from the uni with service to others in the uni. As you learn more about the game, we encourage you to share that knowledge with others. That's really what makes the uni very, very successful. If it wasn't for the volunteers that do all the various things that are required to make the uni successful, then, candidly, there would be no EVE University. So you'll find some very dedicated people, some very experienced people in the uni as well, who act as our directors, as mentors, as teachers, as recruitment officers, running various aspects of the uni. And those people are available to you. And we encourage you to join us as a volunteer to share your experience and knowledge as well and with others and make the uni more successful. If you want to contribute but don't have experience, there are certainly things that you can do still to add a lot of value to your fellow uni members. So you can edit the wiki or you can apply to be a recruitment officer, or a variety of other things. Join the ILN, the Ivy League Navy, if that's is something that is of interest to you. There are a wide variety of things that you can do, even as an inexperienced member of the uni, to give back to the uni. And we encourage you to do that as well. Now, I'd like to discuss a few key policies that are required. We call these our Ivy League policies. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the policies on the wiki, you should have been because you were asked to before you did your recruitment conversation with a recruiting officer. But certainly, we do encourage you to read the various policies that are required to be successful. And in fact, you are expected to know those policies. There is no excuse for not understanding the basic policies that guide the uni and our alliance, the Ivy League Alliance, of which the uni is the principal part. But basically, to summarize some of those key policies, first and foremost, there is the policy of honesty. It is possible, certainly, to be a pirate or a scammer or someone with a negative standing, a security status in the game, but that is not permitted while you're a member or a student at EVE University. What you do with those skills once you learn them after you leave the university is completely up to you. Those are completely legitimate forms of playing in the game, and we applaud you if that's what you'd like to do. If you want to leave the university and be the world's greatest pirate, by all means, feel free to do so. But while you're in the university, we expect all of our members to behave honestly with themselves and also with those that are not members of the university. So honesty is a key part of our policy. Secondly, respect. We will not tolerate members making any kind of personal attacks on each other or talking smack, if you will, to other members of EVE University. We also do not expect you to do that with other non-members of the university, those people that you encounter in EVE. So we find it's very important to maintain a certain degree of respect. And we have various policies that are designed to enforce that. The reason for that is if we show disrespect and provoke other players that aren't members, then they'll be inclined to, you know, candidly declare war or give us a lot of trouble. So while you're in the university, we expect you to show respect to your fellow uni members and also to those that are not members. We expect you to respect the property rights of others and, candidly, do not do any kind of inappropriate conduct in the public channels. You may be an adult, certainly, but as you're working in the various chat channels in the uni or elsewhere, we expect you to remember that there are people of all ages playing the game. And so as a result, keep your profanity and anything else, well, candidly, don't have it. But we would like you to keep it at best PG-13 for those that are familiar with those movie ratings. So be respectful and be aware that we have a wide variety of people of different backgrounds and ages that are in the uni. We also expect you to follow the EULA, the End User License Agreement. You did agree to that when you joined EVE. And for those of you who have not read the EULA, let me get a link for you here that will help you to understand that in more detail. I do recommend that you spend some time to review the EULA. As a legal agreement, it's actually not impenetrable, but it's important for you to understand the terms and conditions to which you agreed. And we will eject you from EVE University if we find that you have violated any aspect of the end user license agreement. Various things, for example, that the EULA is designed to, which candidly are designed to protect against. For example, you're not allowed to share your user ID with multiple people. And there are a variety of other things in the EULA, too, that you should be aware of. So if you've not reviewed that EULA agreement, we encourage you to do so, and we will expect you to follow the terms of that end-user license agreement. Another general policy for the uni is one of freedom, and that is no one in the uni expects you to fight, to join a fleet, to mine or join a mission. What you do is completely up to you. On the other hand, if you are with bereft of funds and don't have an appropriate amount of resources, well, that's up to you as well. It's up to you to put some effort in to gain those things. So you are absolutely not expected to participate in every uni event. Play at your own pace. You're welcome to join, certainly, in all the variety of activities that we have in the uni, but you're not expected to. You have complete freedom. So participate at your own level if you can. Now, of course, the more you participate, the more you're going to get out of your experience and the more valuable it's going to be. So, of course, we encourage you to do that, but you are never required to do any of the activities that we offer in the uni other than to follow our policies. I'd like to also talk a little bit about some key policies regarding restrictions on movement. There are certain areas of the New Eden that you're allowed to pass freely through as a uni member, and there are some areas that have some restrictions, and I'd like to cover those briefly. First of all, any area in high security space, that is any area that has a security rating of 0.5 or higher, you are freely allowed to move through those, and we do encourage you to avoid autopilot if you're carrying cargo that you can't afford to lose. That's just good sound sense, but you are able to move through high-sec space at your own discretion. Low security space, that is any area with a security rating of 0.1 to 0.4, you are also allowed to move through. However, be aware that it is a more dangerous area, and to that end, we recommend very strongly as a general policy that you do not use autopilot, that is, warp to zero manually, and be very aware of your surroundings. That's just for your own safety, and it's just generally good sense. Nullsec space, that is any area with a security rating of 0.0, we have some very distinct limitations on. You are only allowed to enter non-player character nullsec space, or NPC nullsec space. And those areas are the Great Wildlands, Curse, Syndicate, and Outer Ring. Those four areas of nullsec space. For many years, the uni was not allowed to enter nullsec space at all, but recently we've relaxed that and allowed our members to enter into non-player character nullsec space. those four regions: Great Wildlands, Curse, Syndicate, and Outer Ring. Now, there are other non-player character zero-zero spaces, such as Venal and Stain, and you are not allowed in those spaces because, unfortunately, you have to go through claimable nullsec space, that space that can be claimed by other player corporations. So do not go to Venal or Stain, because that will lead to all kinds of diplomatic problems for us. Hunter Killer, you asked the four nullsec regions that you are allowed to go into. They are Great Wildlands, Curse, Syndicate, and Outer Ring, and you are allowed to go there. If you're not familiar with where those areas are located, I can recommend a couple of very, very good mapping resources, and if you do not have these, then by all means, be sure to download those. My favorite, candidly, is Ombi's 2D maps, which I've just posted the link for, and they're very, very helpful. Encourage you to download those and use them on an ongoing basis. Certainly the in-game map is helpful, but to have another area, another map that you can look at to see what area you're going into is very, very helpful. Also the Dotland maps, and I've just posted the link for that as well, can also be very, very helpful. You did ask if those areas are relatively safe, those nullsec areas are safe, Uncaro, thank you for that question. And as Lay indicated, no, they're not safe. They have no security whatsoever. So the rules are anything goes there. You can be attacked, you can be destroyed, they can take your ship, and there's absolutely no implication for the pilots by doing that. You have no protection there whatsoever. So enter into nullsec space completely at your own risk. Reverend Dean, you had a question. Will working on faction with the groups in the allowable 00 areas be available, or will that affect university standing adversely? I think if you're talking about the faction in the groups in 00, you mean the major factions like Galente, Minmatar, Kaldari, etc. If that's the case, then yeah, certainly if those missions in those four areas allow you or require you to go in that space, that is completely okay. But be aware that you're entering into 00 space, and 00 space by definition has no security, so it is very dangerous. All right. Okay. Ethnic mix definitely would be one that you typically find in 00 space or low sec. And if you'd like to mission with that particular faction, you can do so as long as you do not enter into any nullsec space other than Great Wildlands, Curse, Syndicate, and Outer Ring. Now, if it sounds like I'm repeating this or overemphasizing it, I am, and I'm doing so for a reason. Because if you enter into nullsec space that is claimable, believe me, the player corporations that are operating in those areas will not like it. They will attack you, and it will create some diplomatic problems for us. It's very important that we in the Uni maintain neutrality as much as we possibly can. We are a unique institution in EVE in that we are really the only neutral player-run corporation. And we strive for that neutrality because that enables us to maintain our mission as a teaching institution. The moment we get involved in all kinds of political brouhahas, it causes all kinds of problems and helps us, really prevents us from fulfilling all the different aspects of our mission. So we're very sensitive to upsetting people that operate in claimable nullsec space. Flay, please speak up if you'd like to add on to that.
Yeah, part of the reason we try to stay neutral as much as possible is we don't want to strain our relationships with other corps or alliances, because we have a lot of students, once they move on from the uni, they go into a lot of different corps and alliances, either 00 or parting or whatever, and having a neutral stance ensures that we don't have our graduates blacklisted from any recruitment most of the time.
Very good point, Flay. Thank you. And Chuyo, you asked, what about wormholes? Yes, wormholes are also technically zero-zero space. They are null-sec space, and you may enter wormholes, but understand that you can do so only at your own risk. Now, there are some limitations to operating in wormhole space. For example, you may not use any exits out of wormhole space that go to claimable null-sec space. So if you go into a wormhole and your entrance collapses and the only exit that's available to you is to that you can find is to claimable null-sec space, then you need to contact a director before entering into that claimable null-sec space and make arrangements with them. So do not enter into claimable null-sec space from a wormhole. So, yes, you can enter into wormholes, and we do so all the time. We have wormhole missions and operations that happen in the uni, and you're certainly welcome to join those, but there are limitations as to where you can go or how where you can exit from a wormhole. Lazarus, you asked, is there corporations we have more problems with usually? The answer is no. I would have to say that we usually have, if someone war decks us, it's usually a small organization that thinks that erroneously that the uni is going to be easy pickings and that we're have lots of members, so there'll be lots of targets there. So generally speaking, they find out pretty quickly that that's not the case because of our various wartime policies, and I'll cover those a little bit later. And we've been at peace for quite some time now. In fact, some people are kind of grumbling that we've been at peace for too long. So I hope it stays that way myself. But generally speaking, there really isn't any corporation in EVE. In fact, we get along very, very well with a wide variety of different corporations on all sides of the political spectrum in EVE. We are, again, truly unique in that we are a truly neutral player-run corporation. Now, another thing that I would recommend to you is that if you have not done so already, is that you have your overview settings set up correctly. And I do think it's very important for you to understand that if you don't have these overview settings set up correctly, then you are going to have problems to understanding the orders that you're receiving from fleet mates in the uni and other people that you're working with. Now, I've just posted the link for the overview guide. It doesn't take long to set that up. I encourage you to go to that link after we're done with this class and set up your overview settings. And candidly, if you don't have that set up, then really don't join any fleets because your settings are going to be erroneous and you're not going to understand some of the orders that come to you. Hexfellion, you ask, how many of the war decks on us are arranged by directors to give learning experience for all the parties involved? Candidly, none in recent history have we ever declared. In fact, we have not declared war on anybody for years, and it is our policy not to do so. Now that we do arrange, however, with some corporations, some PvP kinds of activities that don't require us to do war decks. And we're happy to do that. In fact, there are a number of corporations in NullSec space that often invite us down there, and we'll do some PvP tournaments or events with them. And it's very friendly, but we don't necessarily have to declare war. We've had, I guess you could say that the last war we had with the privateers was a rather friendly war. So that does happen occasionally by mutual consent, but we just generally don't declare war unless we have to, and that you probably won't see that in the uni for any particular time. However, you will see PvP and other kinds of events scheduled from time to time. I do recommend that you go to the wiki, and if you're not familiar with the wiki, you can reach that from the forum and a variety of links on our main website page as well. And the wiki is really our record, or rather our area of record, if you will. All the final policies can be found on the wiki, and it is a very, very valuable resource for searching. So if you want to understand uni policies or find some very useful information about all the different kinds of classes and the different aspects of operating effectively in EVE, go to the wiki. The wiki really is the final word, if you will, on some of the key things that the university offers. Now, another area of policy I'd like to cover is one of communications. We have a general policy that you make, while you're in the uni, no contact with hostile parties. There's no talking to war targets, no talking or chatting in local chat unless you're directed by a fleet commander or director. If any hostile attempts to contact you, during wartime, or even if you have a hostile that's operating aggressively toward a uni, even in peacetime, they reach out to you, we recommend that you bring that to the attention of a uni director. Again, we want our diplomats to handle our formal relationships with third parties. We do not want individuals in the uni to be having side conversations. So if you are candidly approached by a hostile during wartime or peacetime, bring that to the attention of a fleet commander or director. Don't rise to the bait and do smack talk in local talk with them, or don't engage in side conversations. Simply, you know, connect with a director and bring it to their attention so they can deal with it appropriately. Hexvillian, you make a good comment here, and that is that it seems like the war policy of the uni is to make wars costly and unfun for the aggressors. That is exactly right. You understand perfectly. And the reason why we want to do that is because we want the war to end as quickly as possible. So if we make it not fun for those that declare war on us, and if we operate in certain ways that candidly leverage our advantages and maximize our advantage over their disadvantages, then the war will end relatively quickly. So when we do have wars, they generally don't last very long, usually no more than a week, maybe two. It's really not smart to declare war on us because we do have a lot of members, over 1,500 members, and we're one of the largest active corporations in high-sec space, certainly, and in the game overall. So declaring war in the uni is just not a very good idea. And it's made possible by the fact that we all are very rigorous about complying with the various wartime policies. And if you don't know what those are, go to the wiki. You will be expected to understand those. Another area of communications I want to focus on is that we request that no member of the uni posts on the corporations, alliances, and organizations discussion in the official EVE forums without prior permission of a director. If you're not familiar with that, I will post the link for that here. That is an area on the EVE online official forums, and we ask that you do not post there. That is an area that is prone to all kinds of smack talk. We do not engage in that kind of behavior per our earlier policy regarding respect. All that will do is inflame those to take action against us. We don't want that to happen, so do not post in the CAOD or Corporations, Alliances, and Organizations discussion in the forum. We also ask that you do not post to the official forums on any threads that mentioned a past or current conflict that involves the uni. Let's not dig up any old dirt, if you will. Just let sleeping dogs lie, if you will. And so we do request that you do not post. In fact, it's a very strong policy that we do not allow uni members to post on any official forums about any past or current conflict. So don't go on to the EVE online forums and start speculating about things that we are about to do or things that we have done. That will result in disciplinary action and potentially expulsion from the uni. The consequences of violating those policies will range from a very unpleasant talk, as I said, with a director, all the way up to destruction of your ship, potting of your capsule, suspension from the uni, or ultimately expulsion. So you have been warned. All of those policies regarding communications fall very much under our general heading of showing respect to others. And if you violate those policies, then perhaps the uni is not for you, and we would encourage you to leave. Any questions about our general policies before I move on to our next major subject? Feel free to chat, drop them here in chat, or speak up here in TeamSpeak if you have any specific questions about our policy.
Question on wormhole exploration.
Go ahead.
This is Reverend. Wanted to know, does the university offer classes on setting up player-owned stations, and would they be doing player-owned station setups in wormholes? It's sort of an aspect of the game I haven't seen and was interested in.
Player-run stations or player-owned structures, POSs, are a fairly advanced part of the game. We do have lectures on rare occasion about POSs. I think we have one scheduled or planned to be scheduled here in the next few weeks, so be on the lookout for that. We do not currently have any formal plans for a POS in wormhole space, so I don't think that we are planning to do that anytime in the near future, unfortunately. Go ahead, Flay, if you'd like to elaborate on that.
Yeah, we used to have a dedicated wormhole division with its own pass and such. There are several issues with that. It's quite advanced. It's not very friendly to a lot of newbies that we have. Most of our members stay in the uni for 3 or 4 months. And if you want to set up a pass in a wormhole, quite typically you'll want a lot more experienced characters, and there are a lot of security issues that can come into conflict with teaching newbies wormhole experience and such. So after this wormhole division was disbanded, they've pretty much left mostly, and we've decided to take a more free-form approach to teaching wormholes so that people can do whatever class wormhole they want. So we have lower skill point members who are familiar with how wormholes work, taking newbies into class 1 or class 2s, and more experience going into class 3, 4, and 5s. I don't know if we've done any class 6s yet. And we don't have any passes in wormholes, and we don't have any plans to do that anytime soon. I'd like to also add a comment about wormholes collapsing and coming out in 0-0 space. To my knowledge, it's not a problem if you come out in, if you don't find an exit in either LOSEC or Empire or NPC NullSec, and you have to go through player-owned NullSec. I did that the other day, actually, with Dominix and two Scorpions, and we managed to avoid trouble and get out, although our two scouts did get potted. But, yeah. But if you can avoid coming out in Sovereign NullSec, it's much better.
Exactly right. It's just be aware that when you go into wormholes, you do so at your own risk, and you should be aware of the of what you're getting into and what you may have to deal with and how you may have to get out of it before you go into wormhole space. It's a lot of fun, certainly, and very challenging, and generally a great thing to understand, and certainly we offer programs and classes to be able to have people master it, but there are dangers in doing so, certainly. Let's talk a little bit about the EVE University management and how we are structured. And we are posting a link here right now that I do encourage you to take a look at if you have not done so already, that describes the management structure. Let me walk through it very quickly with you. First of all, our founder was Morning Maniac. Morning Maniac has turned the reins over of operations of the uni to others. They're very capable. He was certainly the founder, and I like to think of Morning Maniac. Of course, you don't see him very often, but every once in a while he drops into one of our forums. He is out there, although he's not active in the uni currently. I like to think of him as this benevolent figure, often in NullSec space somewhere. somewhere looking down upon us from afar with great affection. So we thank Morning Maniac certainly for the founding of the Uni, and we hold him in great respect and regard, as does, candidly, everybody in the EVE community. He's done a fantastic thing. Our chief executive officer is Keldum Ravan, and he runs the day-to-day operations of the Uni, and you'll see messages from Keldum occasionally from our on our EVE forums and certainly on EVE Mail. Our director of personnel is MetaDog, and he's responsible for all of the various aspects of recruitment, student relations, and titles. All of our unappreciated recruitment officers work constantly to process the application queue. Certainly all of you had to go through that trial by fire, and all of those folks are ultimately work for MetaDog. Our recruitment manager, who manages all of the recruitment officers, is Darian Raymond. If you are interested in becoming an RO, a recruitment officer, we're always looking for help in that regard, and candidly, it's a lot of fun. We have some nice, experienced people in the RO group that have our own little chat channel, and we learn a lot from each other. So if you're interested in being a recruitment officer, it doesn't require a lot of experience, feel free to contact Darian. We'd love to have you as part of our group. A very important person for you as new students in the Uni, for those of you who are new, is Core Tanis. And Core is our student relations manager. If for some reason you have any kind of a dispute with a fellow Uni that you can't resolve amongst yourselves, and of course we encourage you to try and resolve it, but if for some reason you have some kind of dispute that can't be resolved, reach out to Core Tanis. He should be your first point of contact if you have any issue with another member of the university, or that includes management or directors, and he can act as an go-between and an arbitrator in that particular dispute and help you to get that resolved. Core is one of our more experienced Uni members and, candidly, one of our great fleet commanders. You'll be here often, I'm certain, about the Dragon Slayer operations where we've gone and killed some carriers, and Core has organized and managed those. So he's a very experienced player in his own right, and he also does a great service as our student relations manager and does an excellent job with that. We also have Kayan Sotoris, who is our title manager. We'll talk a little bit more about titles down the road here, but he manages all that and processes requests for our freshman, student, and graduate titles. He's also responsible for processing of the awarding of medals. And if for those of you who want to click on my bio, you'll see my medal for my graduate status from the Uni, and Kayan is the one who manages and distributes those. Our education department is responsible for organizing classes like this one, certainly. It also manages the mentor program and setting up university-wide events. And currently, our director of education is Deidre Val. Deidre does a fantastic job at putting together the education programs and is a very experienced player in the game. In fact, Deidre was a member of the Council of Stellar Management, which is the liaison office to CCP, who owns and operates the EVE game. So Deidre is a very experienced player. Reporting to him is Alelsa. Alelsa is our training manager and is responsible for scheduling these kinds of classes. If you have an interest in a class, then by all means, there are certainly threads in the forum where you can post them. Oh, that's right, Flay, I forgot that DV or Deidre is going to run again for CSM. So be on the lookout for that, everybody, and be aware that we'd love for you to vote for Deidre Val once again so we can have representation on the Council for Stellar Management. Alelsa is responsible for making all the classes happen, and if you have an idea for a class, I'll also be the great person to contact about that, or Deidre for that matter. Also, if you'd like to be a teacher, we certainly, as you build some expertise, and I know some of the members of the Uni who've joined us have some experience in various aspects of the game, by all means, we encourage you to be a teacher as well. So connect with Alelsa, and we can investigate that option to you. We also have a mentorship program, and if you need a mentor, if you'd like someone who is candidly a someone a little more experienced that can provide you with some one-on-one kind of coaching, then we recommend reach out to Ahara. Ahara is responsible for the mentor program. I'm going to post a link for that as well. Go ahead and read that if you wish, and you can arrange to have a mentor who can give you some one-on-one coaching about various aspects of the game. Does a great job managing that. Our events manager is Sia, and Sia is responsible for putting together all the various events in the game, and you'll see everything that from travels to various parts of landmarks of EVE University, like the EVE Gate, which are always a lot of fun, all the way through to working with other corporations and various kinds of PVE or PVP events, all the way up to different kinds of free-for-alls that we sponsor. We have a wide variety of events. Just continue to check the calendar and read your mail, and you'll see that Sia is putting together those various events for us. And, if you have an idea for an event that you'd like to see us do, reach out to Sia and suggest that. We'd be happy to try and make that happen. Other departments that I think are important for you to understand, first of all, our logistics department, which is responsible for organizing our various mining operations in the uni and running our research jobs and looking after the uni hangars, as well as producing any items that we need in the uni and keep them stocked. The director of logistics is Asmodeus Villar. Asmodeus does a fantastic job managing all those, operating them on an ongoing basis. Our new mining manager, who's responsible for mining operations and managing our mining loaner fleet, we do provide mining vessels to people that are interested in the uni or interested in becoming a miner, is Kaylin Bendlix, and Kaylin does a good job with that, so reach out to Kaylin if you're interested in mining. If you're not aware of it, by the way, and we're going to talk a little bit more down the road, we have a variety of different dedicated chat channels. Our industry.euni channel is where most of the folks in the logistics and the mining group hang out for various mining operations. So if you're not registered for those additional chat channels, recommend that you do so. We'll talk a little bit more about that down the line. Sunburn, you ask, do you guys provide any missioning fleets? And the answer is yes, we do. In fact, we have a chat channel dedicated to missioning. It is called, not surprisingly, missions.euni and e-uni. So if you're not part of that chat channel, I recommend that you register for that as well. And you do that by clicking on the little talk balloon in the upper right corner of your chat window and typing missions.euni, and you must know the password for that as well. Passwords for all of our chat channels can be found if you click on the corporate button in your Neocom and look under Alliance and Bulletins, and you'll see all the latest passwords for various parts of our chat channels and forum access if you ever need it. So check out the missions.euni channel, and you can find mission groups that are getting together there all the time. Our production manager is responsible for maintaining the production of various parts that are necessary for euni is Recon. Research manager is Frood Frooster. And our hangar manager is Turin Bay. I think Turin is in attendance with us here today. And he has a group of people who work with him as well. The hangar is always stocked. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, there's Turin. Salute to you as well. To keep that, that very valuable resource available for our uni members and that it is well stocked. We'll talk a little bit more about hangar access in a bit. Our director of diplomacy is someone that you need to know, and that is Erdolf Delrar. And Erdolf is responsible for making sure that we maintain our neutral stance and that we resolve any kind of disputes that we might have with other corporations in the university. So if you are, if you want to talk to someone who's responsible for diplomacy in the uni, then Erdolf is the right person to connect with. The director of Starbase Operations, as you know, we do have a POS, a player-owned structure, that we use to host research laboratories and so forth. If you're not familiar with where that is, it is located at Aldret 9, Moon 9, And if you haven't gone there, I encourage you to go there. You'll see the POS behind its POS shield, which if you're a member of the uni, you can pass freely through. And we do recommend that you bookmark that location, because the POS is often places that we go to form fleets, because it's fairly safe to do that behind the POS shield. Our director of Starbase operations and maintaining the POS is Esconia Running Star, and Esconia does a great job with that. Director of Communications, who maintains the wiki and the forums and all of those kinds of infrastructure, is Meraki Alcento. If you're having trouble accessing the forum or any aspect of the wiki, Meraki is the right person to connect with. Another group that I definitely need to make sure that you understand is our Ivy League Navy. And the Ivy League Navy is our standing force that is a group of volunteers to come up and protect the uni in times of war or against the enemies of the uni. We have a group of people that run the ILN, and you are all welcome to join the Ivy League Navy. If you do so, you can expect to serve a term of at least 3 months, and I'll have a link for you posted shortly to help you understand the up for that if you're interested in joining the ILN. But the fleet admiral for the ILN is Silent Brick, the vice admiral is Ubercado, and our director of intelligence is Curlin Deshai. Those people are important for you to understand because in times of war, essentially the uni goes to martial law. And Silent Brick, basically, his word is law. So if during wartime Silent Brick tells you to do something, the question is not why. The question is how fast can you do it? So Silent Brick's in charge during wartime. If you do not obey rules by Silent Brick, then Ubercado, who is easily the scariest person in the uni, as evidence of that, it's well known that Ubercado, for fun, collects corpses of both our victims and of errant uni members who violate various policies of the uni, and I am not kidding. So Ubercado, if you violate any of our policies, generally will be the person who hunts you down and kills you. So there's generally good reason to follow the rules of our policies. I really am not kidding. I mean, he really will collect your corpse. So be aware, if you see Ubercado following you around, treat him with great respect and, you know, do the right thing and obey the various rules that are put down by the university. Deshai does a great job collecting intelligence on our various enemies of the uni, and if you go to the link that I posted earlier that lists all the management of the uni, you'll see that all of the information about Curlin is classified, and the reason he has that job is because he is easily the most paranoid person in the uni, and he's perfect for being in the in that particular position. So that is our management structure and our directors, and they're very available. Feel free to reach out to them. Usually the best way to connect with them is through a private post through the forum. They're usually inundated with mail, Eve mail, so that's not often the best way to do it. Flay, if you can talk a little bit more about the ILN, since I did mention it, would be greatly appreciated. Go ahead and tell us a little bit more about the ILN.
Right. Well, we do have a lot of members who joined the university who are interested in PvP and fleet command. And even if that's not the main reason you join and you want to learn about it, then you don't have to join the ILN to learn about those or to participate in fleets, etc. And I'd recommend joining the command.iln channel. It's open to all uni members. You don't have to be an ILN member to join it. And somebody posted the link already to the wiki. If you do a search for joining the ILN on the wiki, you'll see all of the rules that you're expected to know if you're in the ILN and the obligations you'll have. The biggest one is the 3-month tour of duty. I see someone saying that he wasn't sure he'd be playing for that time. Keep in mind that the tour of duty is it's for your time while playing EVE in the university. So if you need to stop playing EVE for real life reasons, if you're too busy in real life or if you don't have the money to pay for a subscription, It's not a breach of a tour of duty. However, if you leave the uni to join some other corporation, in that case, that would be a breach of the tour of duty. Or if you drop to an NPC corp, there are some exceptions. For example, if you drop to join an Agony class, or there was a Dirt Nap Squad class that was offered a while ago, so some people dropped from the uni while they were in the island to join that class and then came back and continued their tour of duty, so that's not a problem. And I think that's about it. Oh yeah, one little detail about intel. We get this pretty much everywhere. People ask where they can post intel. The reason, the short answer is, if you're not already invited to our intel channels, then you're not welcome. And that's pretty much the only answer you're going to get.
Thank you, Flay. The ILN is a great place to learn about PvP, and we are very organized. And during times of war, of course, they lead our defense of the uni. And so we do encourage you to join if you're interested in learning more about player versus player combat. Let's move on now and talk a little bit about various communications that are available in the uni. And it is important to understand that we use a variety of different kinds of communication channels to make sure that people are aware of what's happening in the uni. First of all, we have our chat channels and mailing lists. And the principal chat channels are Alliance, Corp, and chat.euni. The Alliance channel is used for forming fleets or for making really important announcements by the uni management. In general, you should not post anything on Alliance. You should monitor it. Be looking in your chat window. If the Alliance tab is blinking, it means that there's a fleet forming or there's an important announcement, and you should look at it. But generally, it is not available to you for posting anything. There is an exception to this. And that is that if you are stranded during wartime and you would like some assistance in being picked up, if you will, if you'd like a uni fleet to pick you up in a remote location, then you should request a pickup in the Alliance chat channel. However, be aware, do not give your location. Don't give your location to on any chat channel, handily during especially during wartime, because then people won't come to get you. They'll assume that security's been breached. So, but you can request a pickup, and if a fleet is available or if people are monitoring it, they'll come to your rescue, if you will, which is helpful during wartime. But that really should be the only time you post anything in Alliance, other than when you are requested to do so by a fleet commander, and there's a procedure for signing up for fleets that we won't get into here. You can look that up in the wiki. The Corp channel is used by students to make official requests or access to uni resources. That's where you go to request TeamSpeak registration or reimbursement for skill books or requesting items from the hangar or anything that requires access to uni resources. Because you can post things there, sometimes it is tempting to begin conversations there, but generally do not. Again, it should be there and reserved only for official uni business. The various people that manage those resources, like Turin with the hangar, for example, monitor Corp Chat to see if people are requesting things, and they see that blinking. If it's filled with all kinds of spam or chat, it becomes very difficult to do that. So don't chat in the Corp Chat channel. The place to chat is in chat.euni. That's for everything else. You can use that to say hello, goodbye, general chat, questions, clowning around, whatever it is you want to do. Be aware, however, that chat.euni is not just for uni members. It is also for former uni members and at least some friends at the university. So it is not a secure channel. You shouldn't speculate about war or ask war questions in the chat.euni. There's really be aware that it is not a secure channel. However, it's a great resource and a lot of fun to chat in euni. Yeah, you, in fact, Hexalon, you a good point. We can actually have war targets chatting in Chat eUni, which is kind of bizarre if they've had prior access in the past or know how to get access to it. So it is not a secure channel, and you should be very, very aware of that.
Yeah, I'll add a little comment here because I sometimes get people bugging me with this. If you see someone with a minus 10 or minus 5, red minus or orange minus, chatting in chat.euni, don't worry about it. He's probably an alumni, and alumni, even if they're part of bad standing corporations, can stay in chat.euni as long as they're not trolling or being unhelpful in any way.
Yeah, there are a number of red flag members in chat.euni and in other chat forums that we make available. Again, remember, we're a neutral organization, so if they're a former alumnus and they've, or if there's an alumnus of the university and they've gone on to other corporations with a bad standing, as Flay has indicated, then you may see them in chat. So we have over 1,500 members, so it's going to be difficult to maintain security, but we want to try to do so if we possibly can, especially during wartime. Just be smart about how you use these various chat channels. Now, of course, I do also recommend that you use the Ivy League forums. Let me post a link to the forums for you. And if you're not using the forums, you should check them frequently. This is divided into a public area where anyone can participate, and also areas only that can be accessed by uni members. There are also areas dedicated to special events, classes, and trainings, as well as other areas designated if you're a member of the Ivy League Navy. So it's a great resource to go in and understand what's going on in the uni and chat about it. But just be aware that there are some parts of the forum that are public and some parts that are private. Be aware of where you're posting when you're in operating and looking at the forums. Another important resource is the Ivy League calendar. The Ivy League calendar can be accessed from the forums. I just posted the link for that as well. The calendar is where we post all of our class schedules and event schedules, and candidly, any cancellations. We had a cancellation of a class earlier today, and that's where we will post those cancellations. So always check the calendar for the latest list of events and use that for planning your attendance at those events. By the way, if you're interested in holding a special event or a class, feel free to reach out to Alalsa or CO or any of the other directors who are responsible for those areas. We'd love to have more events and more classes, certainly. I've already talked about the wiki as well. The wiki is an extremely valuable resource, and candidly, it's getting better more and more and more. So if you're not looking at the wiki frequently, and I just posted the link for that, feel free to do so. It should be the first place that you go to for any official word about uni policies or any of our knowledge about various aspects of EVE. All of the links are there. You can find the final word, if you will, on our policies. Now, how old is the university? If I recall correctly, and Flay, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the university was founded in 2004. Is that correct?
Yeah, didn't we have our six-year anniversary just a few weeks ago?
That's exactly right, back in March. So in March of 2004, it was founded. In fact, it was founded the day after Morning Maniac's birthday, so it was kind of his personal birthday present to the EVE community. So yes, we're 6 years old now. Now, another communication resource that we use is TeamSpeak, and we're all using TeamSpeak, obviously. I don't need to tell you how to set it up, because otherwise you wouldn't all be here. But if you need to know where the passwords are for chat, for TeamSpeak, for other secure areas of communication in the uni, as I mentioned before, click on the corporate button, look in alliances and bulletins, and you can always see it there. If someone in chat asks you for a password for any uni resource, don't give it to them. instead direct them to Corporation Alliances bulletins. If they have access to that, then then they should have access to it. And if they don't, then they won't. And so that's the best thing to do is not, we don't want to have to change the password all the time. So if someone asks you for the password to our resources, direct them to that link. Right. If you are using TeamSpeak, you don't really need a microphone unless you are a fleet commander, wing commander, or squad commander. We do recommend it, however, because as you're operating in various fleets and missions in a gang, then it is helpful to be able to speak up, and it also it's kind of cool to be able to chat with each other and parts of TeamSpeak and different kinds of operations. Oh, yes, Ken, thank you very much. You also need it to be a scout, obviously, so we can communicate the intelligence back to you. So you will need a mic, and you will need to be able to use TeamSpeak if you're in one of those positions. But you aren't required. If you can still participate in fleets, we do recommend that you get a microphone if you can. It's helpful. Generally during classes, it's going to be formatted like this one. You're going to find that the teacher is going to be doing most of the talking, and the questions will come in the chat channel, and we find that works best, but occasionally we'll also open it up to TeamSpeak or have other people participate, like Flay and I are doing here. So, again, it's helpful to have a microphone for asking questions or conversing in chat in classes when directed by the teacher, but, again, it's not necessary. Okay. If you do get into TeamSpeak, don't join any fleet channels that you are not an active member of the fleet. If you do that, then the fleet commander and squad commanders there will assume that you are a spy, and that will not reflect well on you. So do not monitor fleet operations if you're not a member of the fleet in TeamSpeak. Also, we request that when you first sign in or log into TeamSpeak, don't sit idle in the docking bay because it just looks like you're hanging there. There are other places that you can go. There's a chat area that you can connect with and various parts of TeamSpeak that are more appropriate for you to connect with. So after you sign in the docking bay, go ahead and switch to the other parts of TeamSpeak that you need to go in. Also, we do recommend that you do not join TeamSpeak unless you're logged in into the game on your unique. There are some practical exceptions to this. One is that if you want to monitor what's happening and you're on your alt or on an alt character because you want to join a fleet, generally we won't enforce it too hard, but as a matter of general policy, you should not be joining TeamSpeak unless you're logged in on the game as well. Let's talk about some university services. But before I move on, any questions about any of our communication channels, TeamSpeak, chat channels, forums, calendar, wiki, anything at all? Very good. Either I'm incredibly boring or incredibly clear. So give me a wave if you could, if you think I'm doing an adequate job here. Excellent. I just want to make sure people can hear me. Thanks for the feedback. All right, let's talk about some we've been, frankly, hammering you a little bit about policies and rules and regulations, and it all sounds very negative, but there are some positive reasons why you join the uni, obviously, and those are that we offer a variety of different services, and I'd like to go through the various services that you can take advantage of that we offer from the uni. First and foremost, certainly we have these kinds of classes. I mean, that's the main reason why most people join the uni, and these classes are very, very helpful. I like to think so. I teach a few of these classes, and others do as well, and we encourage you to teach classes if you wish. And also, there is a library of recorded classes at classes.eve-iv.com, and I've just posted the link for that. Do recommend that you go in and take a look at the past classes and lectures. We're continuously updating those, and that audio class library is an extremely valuable resource to being able to download those and listen to them on your computer or iPod or whatever MP3 listening device you'd like to listen to. So the recorded class library is a very valuable resource. Another service that we offer is the Skillbook program, and the Skillbook program, quite candidly, is probably one of the main reasons why most people join the university. In short, we will reimburse the cost of any skill book that retails for under 1 million ISK, interstellar credits, which is the in-game currency, for the non-player character school price. And what we mean by that is if a skill book is being sold at one of the NPC schools, and our headquarters, the Pater Tech School, is one of those NPC schools, then if it markets for under $1 million at those locations, then we will reimburse you for that expenditure. The way that you get access to that is that you can request reimbursement in, as we said before, in Corp Chat. Later on, when you get a title, if you apply for a title, then when you get a student title, you can get access to the corporate skillbook wallet, and you can reimburse yourself, which is very handy. And we constantly replenish that skillbook wallet with enough ISK for students' ongoing needs. And we do encourage you to buy skillbooks and request access to them, request reimbursement for them. And then when you become a student, then you can use the actual Corp University, or rather E-University a skillbook wallet, and reimburse yourself. Also, in the hangar, which is the other benefit, and Turin Bay manages that with his capable staff. The hangar is an extremely valuable resource. In the hangar itself, you'll see that it's divided into several areas, a freshman, student, graduate, and some other areas as well. When you get freshman status or title, then you have access to the freshman hangar. Student title, you'll have access to the student and freshman area. And when you're a graduate, you'll have access to student, graduate, and freshman access as well. In the freshman hangar, you'll find skill books that are pertinent at an introductory level that you can grab and use. You can also see we'll have frigates in there and a variety of modules and ammunition that would be appropriate for fitting a frigate. Not really anything, candidly, you're not going to see anything more than a Meta Zero level of module in there or ammunition, but it's certainly very helpful, and we encourage you to use those resources. The only rule there is don't abuse it, and Turin and his team monitor the ongoing use of the hangars. If we've seen people going in and just grabbing stuff indiscriminately, candidly not for their own use, that will be considered theft, and you can be disciplined for it. So use what you need, and it's available to you, and be respectful of other students' use of those hangars, and don't abuse the privilege, and that privilege will continue to be extended to you. All right, I am posting the link for our policies on the hangar, and if you can read that, then that will help you to understand what our policies are. Oh, there you go. I've already posted that earlier. Okay, let's talk about Jump Clones. Jump Clones is another service that we offer from EVE University. Now, people tend to, when you're new to the game, Jump Clones can be very confusing. Jump Clones are not the same thing as your medical clones. Your medical clone is what happens when you are potted or killed. You end up in your medical clone. And you should always keep your medical clone up to date. And your medical clone can be acquired anywhere where there is a medical facility. And so always make sure that your medical clone is up to date. They are rated by the number of skill points that it can retain. So make sure that your medical clone will always cover the number of skill points that you have at any given time. Jump clones, however, are a little different. Jump clones are bodies into which you can transport yourself that can be located in different places. So they're very handy for two purposes. Number one, you can put different implants in different jump clones. For example, I have a jump clone that I use for combat and one that I use for training, and they have different implants. And I can switch back and forth between those two depending on whether I want to focus on training or on combat. The only limitation there is when you do jump into a jump clone, there's a 24-hour cooldown period, so you can't jump again for 24 hours. Now, to acquire a jump clone, there are certain places you have to go to, and we have very high standings to be able to acquire a jump clone. You have to have standings of at least 8.0 or higher. with a corporation that offers jump clones, and not all of them do. We currently have standings with Rikomi Peace Corp up in Lone Trek, and you can use that corporation to obtain jump clones from them. There are no jump clone facilities near Aldrat, unfortunately, unless you can grind standings with one that a corporation that offers jump clones to 8.0 or higher yourself, but that'll take a very significant amount of time, so that you can go ahead and acquire jump clones right away. Now, as Flay has just posted in chat channel, it's very important to understand this policy regarding jump clones, because if you don't and you violate it, you will be expelled from the university. And it is simply this. When you go to the station to acquire jump clones, do not speak, do not open access, do not double-click on the agents listed with that corporation. If you do, then your standings, which are very low, will be mixed with those uni members that have ground up to more than 8.0, and we will lose access to jump clones. Jump clones are a very valuable resource for uni members, so if you go to the WPC up in Lone Trek, the Rikomi Peace Corp, do not speak to any of the agents there. If you do, you will be expelled. Make sure everyone understands that. All right, so if any questions about jump clones or access to jump clones before I move on. Very good. Now, we also offer Flay's recently updated this, a fantastic ship replacement program. If you are flying a frigate, a destroyer, or a cruiser in an official uni operation, then, if for some reason, if you lose those ships, you can request a replacement. Now, we won't replace your fittings, but we will replace the ship itself. And on the link that I've just posted, and you can find this on the wiki, if you go to the wiki and search for ship replacement program, you can request a replacement for that ship hull. It's a wonderful service, and so what that means is that you can not have to worry about losing your ship. Dragoslav, you've just posted a question. Isn't that what insurance is for? And answer is, yes, it is to an extent, but that's what makes this such a great service. Even if you insure your ship and you lose it, you can request a reimbursement and, frankly, keep the money. So it's a way of actually generating a little income for yourself, which you can then use for acquiring fittings, or you can go to the hangar, as Flay's pointed out here, and download some of the standard fittings. All right, so the ship replacement program is a wonderful service, and we encourage you to take advantage of it. We will not reimburse you for battle cruisers and battleships. By the time you get to that level of experience, we expect you to be able to do that yourself. But for frigates, destroyers, and cruisers, we'll be happy to replace that hull if it's lost in some kind of an official university operation. Reverend, you ask if this service applies only to ILN members. No, it applies to anyone that participates in an official university operation. So if we are on a director-led operation with a large fleet and we lose and you lose your frigate, destroyer, or cruiser and you'd like to request reimbursement, you may do so. So it's not restricted only to ILN for ship replacement. Flay, go ahead if you'd like to elaborate on that.
Yeah, and you don't need the fleet to be led by a director for it to be an official fleet operation. Any ILN member, even ensigns that are just newly entered into the ILN and don't have a higher rank yet, can declare a fleet to be official. And if they do that, then that means you can take any ship you requested through the ship replacement program into that fleet. And you should make sure that all the loot picked up from enemy wrecks go into the ILN hangar. And you don't need to be an ILN member to benefit from this. But for a fleet up to be declared official, it has to be led by a director or ILN member, and he has to declare it to be official, because not all fleets led by a director or ILN member will be official fleets. It's up to them. It depends a bit on what they want to do with the loot, etc.
Very Very good play, thanks. We had a couple questions asking about reimbursement for T2 ships. Flay, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the ship reimbursement or ship replacement program applies only to T1 hulls. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's only Tech-1 frigates, destroyers, and cruisers, although we're all out of destroyers for some reason for a while. And yeah, about wartime, all PVP fleets in wartime are covered by the ship replacement program, provided it's one of the ships covered by it. I don't think that wormhole fleet ops are covered. And in fact, I'm pretty sure they aren't, because usually you do wormhole ops during war to make some ISK, and if you wanted it to be covered by the ship replacement program, you'd have to dump all the loot into the island hangar, which would be counterproductive, I guess. So yeah, it's for PvP fleets.
Right. That's right. And Dragoslav, you ask if faction ships are covered, and no, they're not. Just the Tech 1 ships, as Flay indicated. But it is a great service if you lose one of those ships in an official operation, and we encourage you to take advantage of that. Now, another benefit that the Uni offers is our bring your own materials ship production. We have a large library of blueprint originals and blueprint copies for just about every ship in the game. Not all, but a great deal of them. And if you mine your own materials and bring those to the Uni, then we will use those blueprints to create your own ship, which can save you some money. It also is a great way to learn about the manufacturing process. So take a look at that link that I've just posted under the Bring Your Own Materials Ship Production, and we can produce that for you. It's a pretty cool benefit, and candidly, you can save a little money that way and learn a little bit about how ships are produced and the manufacturing process in EVE. Okay, I see some questions here about titles. If I can ask you to hold off on that, we'll be getting to that momentarily. One final couple of other things I want to touch on, if I could, but I see we're getting close to our end time, so let me go ahead and touch on these other key issues, and then we'll wrap up here in the next few minutes. Often we find that people ask about missioning around Aldrat, and there are one of the reasons we are located where we are, besides the obvious benefits of having a dead-end system. And if you notice from the maps that Aldrat is a dead-end system in the map, so it's relatively easy to defend. In fact, we've had a number of fantastic battles at the Egfi Gate that are legendary. Be sure to ask in chat.euni about that, and we'll regale you with our stories of great victories there. But for those of you who want to mission around Aldrat, there are a variety of great places to do so. I'm posting a link here, which is a guide on the wiki to missioning in Aldrat. Frankly, most people who are based here at our headquarters in Aldrat do a lot of missioning with the Minmatar Mining Corporation, especially if you're a miner. They have lots of agents that are located nearby on a variety of different levels. I should tell you that the MMC does not have any jump clone facilities, so it's great if you want to do perfect refine or if you want to build no-tax kinds of refinement capability, grind the standings that are necessary to do that. But it's a great missioning group. Another is the Caldari Business Tribunal, which does offer jump clones and also has a number of level 1 through 4 agents located nearby. So that's a good choice as well. You can also use jump clones, which I mentioned earlier, to jump to other parts of the New Eden space. Candidly, I've been off in Amar space doing grinding for some missions out there to try and get access to certain high levels of standings of certain corporations, and using a jump clone to do that. So that is something we recommend to you as well. And take a look at that mission guide, and you'll see where a pretty comprehensive list there of all the different agents that are located within 10 jumps of Aldrat. Greg Slub, you ask, is there a way to check the loyalty store items before doing missions? I believe that if you go to a station that is owned by the corporation and click on the LP store link in that station, you'll be given access to what's in that LP store, but you won't be able to buy anything. So you can take a look at that. Am I wrong about that? Truly, you say you need at least one loyalty point, but I... Play, do you need to have at least one loyalty point to be able to access the LP store?
Do I look like a Care Bear to you or what?
Turin, perhaps you know. Maybe that would be a better question for you.
Yeah, I'm not completely certain, but I'm fairly sure that you do need at least one point. But it's easy enough to run, you know, a single level one mission and then go ahead and check out the store to see if you want to continue running missions for them.
And I see that Bernard and Synchrotron has posted a couple of links here as well that gives you some background information on the LP stores as well. So, yeah, as you can tell, I mean, I've been playing this game for 9 months now, and I'm still learning things. That's one of the reasons why I'm still in the uni. So that's a good question. Now, I do want to comment briefly about joining fleets. We operate fleets all the time in the uni, and you're all welcome to join fleets. There are specific protocols, however, for joining and operating in fleets, and I'm going to post a link here that I encourage you to read in detail. It looks like a very foreign experience the first time you go through it. You'll see people entering all kinds of strange codes like XDD, and what does this mean, and so forth. But once you've been through it, it really isn't too complicated. Read that Rookie's Guide to Fleet Operations that's on the wiki. You will understand exactly what to do. It won't look like a difficult experience. Once you see what the procedure looks like, joining a fleet is not difficult. You will be expected, if you want to join a fleet, to understand those operating procedures. So if you've not read that particular guide to fleet operations, then I encourage you to do so. One thing I do want to tell you about the uni, and that we are unique amongst player corporations in that any player, any member of the uni can form a fleet at any time. If you want to generate, you know, go out and tomorrow or today and be a fleet commander, you can start a fleet. Just follow the operating procedure as outlined in that guide, and you can be your own fleet commander. And that is completely okay. In fact, you can even do that during wartime. So we are a learning organization, and we encourage people to participate. So if you want to be a fleet commander and dive right in, by all means, don't just sit around and wait for a fleet to form. You can form one yourself and become a fleet commander. Now, I do candidly recommend that you get some experience and that you participate in a variety of fleets before you do so, so that you understand how to do that successfully. But we do not have any restrictions on fleet formation in the uni, and that is a unique advantage in being a member of the uni.
I do have to cut you off here. That's not entirely true. There are a bunch of corporations that will allow anyone to lead a fleet. Maybe not if you're in a super serious 0.0 sovereign holding alliance, but in faction warfare, in red versus blue, and the plenty of pirate corps, then anyone can lead a fleet. But yeah, if you do want to get experience in fleet command, the university is a good place to get it.
Point well taken, Flay. Thanks. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of our wartime policies, because it is important for you to understand. And you were grilled about some of this in your interviews. First of all, when a war comes up, we recommend that you check the checklist, and I've just posted the link to the checklist, to make sure that you're ready for war. There are a number of standard operating procedures for wartime, and let me go ahead and post that link as well. If you're not familiar with the wartime standard operating procedures, again, they are posted on the wiki. It's important for you to understand those. Bottom line, here's the main thing you need to understand about our uni wartime policy. During wartime, there is no missioning, mining, hauling, or solo activities of any type. Be very clear, no missioning, mining, hauling, or solo activities. The reason for this is that we do not want to provide our enemies with easy targets that will encourage them to perpetuate the war. So during wartime, you are not allowed to leave the station for missioning, mining, or hauling, and you did agree to these policies when you became a member of the Uni. You are, however, permitted to do wormhole exploration as long as it's being done in fleets. You are permitted to join PvP fleets for attack against our enemies. And you can also travel during wartime, except during lockdown. If there's a war target in the Yaldrat area, for example, we will have a lockdown in that area, and you're not permitted to leave the station. Simply monitor the chat channels and also the Eve mail for any official word on lockdowns. But if it's not, we're not under lockdown, you can travel in fast frigates fitted for travel. We want you to be able to move quickly in cheap ships if necessary. But missioning, mining, hauling, solo activities, not allowed during wartime. Are there any questions about that before I move on? That's very important that everybody here understand that. Very good.
All right, I'll add a little bit of something here. Sorry to cut you off again. We always get people who break the wartime rules because they didn't do what everyone should do every time they log in, which is check your mail. Every time you log into Eve, first thing you should do is check your mail, check the notifications, and there's a war notification there. And if you're not sure if the war has started yet or if it's finished yet, then you can check in the Neocom. If you go to the corporation section of the Neocom, there's a war tab, and there should be an Our Wars sub-tab. And you can look there. It'll tell you if the war is active, if you can fight yet, or if the fighting has stopped.
That is right, Flay. The official word as to whether or not we are at war can be found under the corporations button in the Neocom under the Wars tab. And, of course, if you go online and you look at the chat channel and the chat.euni, our DEF CON or defense condition status is always listed there. There's always mention of war in the forums. And as Flay said, The mail will definitely go out to all of the members of the Uni if war has been declared. So there really is no excuse for not knowing when war has been begun or at least issued against the Uni. And we will not take it very kindly if you violate wartime policies during war. You are expected to be able to know exactly what it is that you need to do during wartime. And if you don't, ask or read the various links in the Uni. In fact, I've just posted a link for the various reasons for our wartime SOP, and if you have any questions about that, take a look at it. Now, one last thing about wartime policy before I move on. If for some reason you do not want to be bound by these wartime policies, you are completely allowed, in fact encouraged, to leave the Uni during war. You will be welcome back after the war. People do this all the time. They'll drop out to a non-player corporation, and they'll do their various mining and solo activities and missioning. And then when the war is over, they'll reapply, come back, and we'll take them right away. In fact, we usually give them a high priority for reentry into the Uni, so we can put you on the fast track. So if for some reason you don't want to be bound by our wartime policies, you have every right to leave the Uni during wartime, and you can come back at the conclusion after the war.
Except if you're in the ILN. If you're in the ILN and you haven't finished your three-month tour of duty, we will frown upon you leaving during war when the ILN members are expected to provide an example for the other students in PvP operation.
That's right, Flay. Yeah, if you do leave when you're and you've enlisted in the ILN, that is considered desertion and is actually grounds for being expelled from the university permanently. So we don't like you to do that. Now, one last thing, and then I'll wrap up and we'll open it up to any questions, and that is we had a question earlier about titles within the university. There are three titles, as I mentioned earlier, freshman, student, and graduate. There are other titles, but frankly, they're more ceremonial, and you'll occasionally see those. But those are the three main ones. And here is a link that I just posted, which is also on the wiki, for access to those various titles and how you can register for them. Being a freshman, we assume that your character is at least 3 weeks old and that you've been in the uni for at least 7 days. You have to have a positive security status and are registered on TeamSpeak, and that you've posted in our forums at least once in the high and buy section. And that's all it takes. And if you apply, Kane Satoris is the one who, and his team, processes that. It usually takes them, I guess, about a week or so to process your application. Kane, correct me in chat here if I'm wrong about that. But we process those fairly quickly, and that will give you access to the freshman hangar. Student access requires that you have the freshman title, have been in the uni for 6 weeks, that is 1 month and 15 days, positive security status, and a lot of participation. And that will give you access to the freshman hangar, student hangar, and the skill book wallet, as I mentioned before. Graduate title means that you have the student title, have been in the uni for at least 12 weeks, that is about 3 months, that you have a positive security status, that you've participated in a variety of different ways, and that basically gives you access pretty much to all of the various resources that the uni has to offer, including the graduate hangar. It also provides access to the research and production access title, which gives you access to the research facilities at the POS, which is very, very helpful. So that is generally what you need to know about being getting your title for the various parts of the uni. Okay, Dragon Jack, you have a question here. Can you explain on what constitutes clear? Yeah, okay, I think what you're asking is clear involvement in the uni. Yes, what we do ask for you to do is participate in our forums, update the wiki, participate actively in chat channels, participate in classes, participate in fleets. We want to see active involvement in various parts of the parts of the uni. Participation in the forums is not absolutely required except for posting in the high and buy. It is a clear indicator that you're participating, and so it's always good to have a written record so that when Kane checks the level of involvement, that's one of the first things that he and his team check. So it's a good idea to have that level of involvement. Okay? All right. All right, we are at the end of the appointed time. Let me just end up with a couple of comments, if I may, and then we'll open it up to any questions for those who want to stick around. Eve University, as I said before, is a unique institution in the game, and it's run by volunteers, so please be respectful of those people who are volunteering their time. We do it because we enjoy helping people and because we enjoy people being successful in Eve, in the uni and outside of the uni. It provides many opportunities for a lot of fun and learning, and this class, for example, is just an example of what's available to you if you can make yourself available to the various options that the university can provide to you. So simply follow the rules and policies as we describe them. And we encourage you to get involved, read the wiki, browse the forums, read your mail, ask questions in chat. The more you participate, the more you are going to get out of the uni. Again, I want to welcome you to Eve University, and we hope that you'll have a great time. With that, I will conclude, open the mics up for any questions in TeamSpeak, and say good luck and fly safe.
All right. Before people ask questions, I just want to make a few comments on things that weren't answered before. I'd also like to make a clarification about Intel. Not sure I was very clear previously. Now, about Intel, I did say there's nowhere to get Intel. Also, there's nowhere to really post Intel. And you can actually expect us to know where most of the war targets are. If they're online, we do have a pretty good Intel department. They're often going to be on alts and use locator agents to find war targets and figure out where they are. And generally, we want to keep the knowledge of what Intel we have about the war targets secret. We have had problems in the past where privateers, for example, infiltrated our Intel channels, and they were taunting us in local about Intel that was posted there. So the Intel is now very restricted. So if you're stuck in a station and you can't get back to Aldrat and you see a war target in local, or if you see a war target on one of your alts, there's basically nowhere where you can post that intel. And if there's no active fleet hunting for it, it's kind of pointless to post any intel anyway, because there's no fleet commander that can do anything to act on that intel. So yeah, if you have intel, there's not much you can do about it, unless it's joining a fleet. And if a fleet is currently being formed and still taking invites, and then you can tell the your squad commander or fleet commander about it if you have any intel.
Thanks, Fly. We'll hang out here. I'll be happy to hang out if anyone has any additional questions. The official part of the class is over, but if anyone would like to step forward in TeamSpeak or ask a question in chat, we'll be happy to try and answer it for you.
Oh, yeah, there was another thing, too. I'm a bit of a loudmouth, so I got to do this also. Somebody asked about feedings. For example, if you request a ship through the ship requestment program or whatever, and you don't have Corp Hangar access, you can ask someone in Corp chat to give you access, who does have access to it. And Adria code, stop keying up. That's pretty annoying. I'm going to kick you really soon. All right, very good. Thank you. Also, if you missed anything about services that we offer, check the wiki on the EVE University Consolidated Information page. And pretty much all of the services we provide are listed there.
Thanks, Play. We've got a couple of questions in chat. Here's one I think is pretty important. Did you say, this is from Andriatico, did you say there is a channel for joining fleets, or do you need to join the ILN? First of all, you do not need to be a member of the ILN to join a fleet. Fleets are called for in the Alliance channel, which everyone has access for. So monitor Alliance for fleet formation. And you can, you'll be invited to participate. And if you understand the fleet formation guide that we sent to you and our operating procedures, you can follow that procedure for joining a fleet. Now, there is also a channel, a chat channel, that is used by the ILN called command.iln, which the ILN uses to form their own fleets and operations, and sometimes we invite other unis to participate and sometimes not. So that's a separate thing altogether, but if you're a member of the ILN, sometimes we form fleets with ourselves, but often we form fleets and make it open to other uni members. So Alliance is where you need to monitor to join fleet.
And again, you don't need to be a member of the ILN to join the command.iln channel. If you have any interest in fleet command or PvP, I do suggest you, you join that channel and participate if you want.
Hexfillion, you ask, are there any scheduled fleet formations? Most fleets are not formally scheduled. There are some exceptions to that. Monitor the forums and the mail for EVE mail for those announcements. But generally, fleets are formed, they just seem to kind of have a life of their own. So monitor Alliance on an ongoing basis, and you'll see when those fleets are formed. And if you're available, feel free to do so. Now, another way that fleets are formed is by groups that are in the various subject matter chat channels, for example, the missioning.euni channel or the industry.euni channel for mining fleets or the exploration.euni channel for people who want to go into wormholes and do various kinds of exploration activities. So if you're not currently registered for those additional chat channels and you have an interest in those kinds of fleets, I encourage you to sign up for those as well. Okay, Pew Pew Lasers has a question. Regarding ship replacement, could you clarify use of the form to request a replacement hull rather than taking a replacement from the hangar? I will give a quick answer to that. Either is appropriate for replacing your ship. However, if you lose in an official uni operation, you might want to use the ship replacement service. Also, you'll notice that the only kinds of ships that are available in the hangar are frigates. There are no destroyers or cruisers there, so we do want to provide an opportunity for people to get reimbursement of the hulls if they're flying slightly larger ships, destroyers and cruisers as well.
Yeah, and if you want to request a ship, just go on the wiki at the ship replacement program page, and there are instructions there on how to fill out the form, and there is also a little section I added at the bottom of common mistakes that people made, stuff like not being in the uni, that'll definitely get you a rejection, or not posting a comment on the kill board. I was pretty much more tolerant about that, but now that I've added it clearly to the page, I'll be rejecting any kill board replacement requests where there's no comment on the kill board. When you add a comment, make sure that you you add things like the engagement conditions. Basically, our diplomats want to know what happened, and if we need to set a corporation to bad or horrible standing to the U.S. So what you want to do is put information like who aggressed first, the security status, or the corporation status of the opponent. For example, if they were outlaws, or if they were bad or horrible standing, if it was a solo or a fleet engagement, etc. That way our diplomats have a good idea of what happened, and they don't have to go through hunting in the after-action reports to try to find it, or contact you personally to see if you... you broke the rules of engagement or whatever.
Something I just want to mention on filling out these forms, if it's like the ship replacement and the titles, make sure when you put in requests for these things that you put your full character name in. It's a large pain when you have someone type their first character name in and you have to filter through the entire member list to find out who it was.
Oh, I don't know why you bother with that. I just put in a rejection and don't bother mailing them. I'm not going to search for the whole list for who it could have been. Good God.
Because I'm slightly kinder than you.
It's whether or not Kane has the time to do it, so let's make it easier for him, definitely. Anduin, you had a question earlier about what kinds of ships are... really most wanted or needed for uni PvP fleets. Candidly, any hull will do. However, there are obviously better suited for some purposes than others. We always need tacklers, which requires fast frigates. And we certainly love to have E-War. We love E-War in uni fleets because it's a great equalizer. And there are E-War frigates and cruisers that are relatively easy to get into. And, of course, we always need damage dealers, which start at the cruiser level and move up through battlecruiser and ultimately battleships. So we need ships of all types, of all flavors, of all sizes. The only important thing is that you know, have the skills to be able to fit appropriately for those different kinds of ship types, and that you can actually pilot them effectively. So we do encourage you to develop those kinds of skills and then acquire the ships that that best match your certain skill level. But all types are definitely welcome in almost all uni fleets.
Yeah, a lot of a comment here. Usually when you're new to PvP, you want to start in a tackling frigate. And that'll give you the basic experience you need for pretty much all other types of ships, except maybe E-War and logistics. But it's the tackling frigate is really the basic, and it's something that all PvPers should know how to use. Now, we also like having newbies in electronic warfare ships, because contrary to damage dealing, you don't need a lot of skill points to fly electronic warfare effectively. Now, in general, the ships that we want you to fly is whatever you'd enjoy flying. So if you don't enjoy tackling frigates and you don't enjoy electronic warfare cruisers or frigates and you want to fly damage dealers, then fly that. Fly whatever makes you happy. But do try to fly something, ships that you fly, you can fly effectively. In general, on the cruiser and battle cruiser level, for cruisers, I know with the Thorax you can get a pretty nice DPS with about 1 month of training. And for a Brutix, for example, if you move up to battlecruisers, Galante battlecruisers, then that's around 3 or 4 months training to fly effectively. Depends a bit if you go for the full tech 2 guns and what kind of other training you've been doing, really. For battleships, I see in the uni we tend to see a lot of newbies flying battleships much too early. I'd recommend at least about 9 months of training, mostly focused on combat training before you get into a battleship for PvP. You need a lot more skill points to fly a battleship effectively in PvP than you do in missions, for example. And a well-flown battlecruiser is a lot more useful than a badly flown battleship.
Yeah, I have to second that. I can fly a battleship, but I don't feel that I have the skills to bring it in a fleet for true damage dealing. So at most, I'll fly a battlecruiser. But I tend to stick with cruisers at this point. I've been in the game for 9 months. We did have a question here from Reverend Daniel. Does eUni have a preference or need for particular R&D agent types for production purposes? Reverend Daniel, I'm not sure I understand the question. I think the short answer is no. But if you could elaborate a little bit, that'd be appreciated. What are you looking for here for your question about R&D agent type?
Meaning in terms of the different R&D agents give the different modules over time when you have standings with them, which are needed for research and invention. Didn't know if we had anyone who was working on that for corporate purposes and if they were needing that.
Well, Asmodeus and their team in production certainly are working on that all the time, but I think they're well stocked in terms of the different kinds of data cores that are available for production purposes. But I encourage you to reach out to Asmodeus and talk about that. Certainly they would welcome your participation in that process if that's something that you're interested in.
Just keep in mind that the data cores are commonly used for T2 production alone, and quite a lot of the production that the uni needs is T1.
All right, I'll take a question here about destroyers. Are destroyers useful at all in PvP? Yes and no, but in general for uni fleets, no. Telephone, goddamn.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have seen in the past specialized Thrasher fleets, but in general, unless the fleet commander calls specifically for destroyers, they tend not to be very useful in the hands of newbies. Generally, for them to be useful, you need a bit more skill points, some Tech 2 guns, and they can be good anti-interceptors in some fleets, but usually a good set of Warrior 2s do the job just as effectively, maybe not insta-popping, but destroyers are usually pretty short range, and we have our blobs moving around, and generally small ships try to stay far away from the blobs, so they won't get in destroyer sniping range usually, though it depends on how far you can shoot, of course. There's also, are Kaldari ships any good for PvE, DD? Well, Kaldari ships are very good for missions. For wormholes, it depends if you've got an armor remote trapping gang, but for missions, Kaldari ships are very good. They can be very good for PvP also, if they're flown properly. Although the Caracal is kind of weak in the damage dealer cruiser department. However, if you have enough skills to move up to the Drake, it can be an extremely effective battlecruiser with excellent tank and DPS as well if you fit it properly. And engagement ranges. Some people say that Kaldari aren't good because of the missile flight time. That's mostly for 0.0 sniper fleets. In the uni, we usually engage at short range. And so if you're not sure what kind of weapons to fit, go short range. Sometimes we do have snipers, and we'll try to get those, but if the FC is looking for those specifically, we'll ask for those. Normally we go short range, we try to catch people at gates, and from time to time we'll get a scout doing a warp in, so we'll land run on top of the enemy. So yeah, short range is usually the way to go if you're not sure what range to fit.
Slay, we have a question here about the kill board. Can you talk a little bit about the kill board and what we can learn from them? Let me give a quick answer to that. I'd like you to follow up because I know that's something you monitor carefully. The kill board certainly is a great way to keep track of what kind of engagements that you and others in the uni have, so that's very helpful. But there's also some things that you can learn from the kill board that are very helpful as well. It's great to be able to see, for example, what kind of ships that our enemies are flying, and especially during wartime, it gives us great insight as to the kinds of fits that they have, especially if we are able to destroy them and get some insight as to what kind of fits. And we often all, you know, question the quality of fits, so we learn something from them. So the kill boards are a great way to learn about what is and is not effective in combat for certain types of ships if you can take the time to study them. So the kill boards are a great thing to review from time to time. And not only is it useful just to tally up how well you're doing, but also you can get some insight as to things that you may or may not want to do in your own ships and PvP activities. Clay, you want to comment on that further?
Yeah, don't expect that because you see a fit on the kill board that it's a good fit. There's plenty of fail fits, both on the EU-UNI side and our war targets or pirate target sides. If you want to, there was a question about fits, I think. Basically, if you're not sure how to fit a ship, go to our ship setup forums in the PvP section and do a search. If you go to advanced search, you can do some criteria. Make sure you search, for example, topic titles, then the name of the ship you want to learn about, and searching the ship setup forum specifically. That'll give you all of the results. We have all the names of the ships in each thread separately, and we try to keep the discussion on a certain ship in one thread, although when they get outdated, we sometimes make a new threads. And, so you can learn about ship fittings in our ship setup forums. You can also go on sites like Scrap Heap Challenge has a very good ship setup forum for both PvP and PvE. Although in Scrap Heap Challenge, you'll mostly have high skill point fits. So in our own forums, you'll often see fits that are more suitable for newbies. Although sometimes you have veterans posting absolutely ridiculous fits that need a full Tech 2 for level 1 missions when newbies ask for a missioning cruiser or whatever when they're 1 month old, but whatever. Usually it's mostly low skill point fits. And for the Drake, usually if you want to get into a damage-dealing cruiser, try to get, I know in the Thorax, after 1 month of training, you can get about 330 DPS, if I remember my calculations correctly. Although the Thorax is a very high DPS cruiser. You'll have a much harder time getting that from a Caracal, for example. If you want to, but regardless of your DPS, if you like flying damage dealing and you don't like electronic warfare or tackling, then feel free to get into a damage dealing cruiser. If you want to move up to a battle cruiser, though, keep in mind for wartime you do need a full Tech 2 tank. There's information on the wiki on what a full Tech 2 tank is, and there's various types of tanks. There's active tanks, passive tanks, and buffer tanks, and you should know the difference between all of those. If you're not sure what kind of tank to fit for PvP, I'd usually suggest a buffer tank, and you can read up about that later on. And if you get into a battle cruiser for PvP in a damage dealing role, try to get at least 400 DPS out of it. You can check DPS with the EVE fitting tool program. That's very handy. And I wanted also to comment, a lot of people suggest Battle Clinic to check fits. But keep in mind, there's a lot of highly rated fail fits on Battle Clinic. So I'd suggest if you want to check out fits, check out Scrap Heap Challenge, and you can downgrade the stuff to Tech 1 instead of Tech 2. Usually it's a lot easier to fit. Or check our own ship setup forums. Somebody asked about the kill board. I'm not sure exactly what you're expecting from an answer. Yeah, and the kill board can be a very good source of intel on enemies. If you often fight, for example, pirates in certain systems, you can check our kill board and see if they've lost chip. Our kill board is actually linked to a lot of other kill boards. So even if we didn't get into contact with them, sometimes you'll find enemy ships and how they like to fit their ships on the kill boards, so you can adapt for that. And same for Battle Clinic, you can check